जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहार गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रयोजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद अभयचरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रयोजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वाम महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरदास ठाकुर की ग्रंथरा श्रीमद भागवत महापुराण की निताय गौर प्रेमनंदे समवेत भक्त की जय श्री गुरु गौरांग की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 12 चैप्टर नंबर 9 चैप्टर एंटर्ड लाइल मार्कंडेय ऋषि सीज द इल्यूजरी एनर्जी टेक्स्ट नंबर 14 तस्य एवं उद्दीक्षतः ऊर्मी भीषणै प्रभञ्जन आघूर्णित वा महाआर्णव अपूर्यमाण वर्षद्धि अम्बुधि क्षमाम् अप्यधात् द्वीप वर्ष अद्रिभि समम् तस्सैव उद्वीक्षित ऊर्मि भीषणः प्रभञ्जनाघूर्णित वार्महार्णव अपूर्यमाणो वर्षद्भिरम्बुदै कामम् अप्यधाद्दीपवर्षाद्रिभिः समम् तस्यैव उद्वीक्षित ऊर्मि भीषणः प्रभञ्जनाघूर्णित वार्महार्णवः आपूर्यमाणो वर्षद्भिरम्बुदै क्षामम् अप्यधाद्वीपवर्षाद्रिभिः समम् तस्यैव उद्वीक्षित ऊर्मि भीषणः प्रभञ्जनाघूर्णित वार्महार्णवः आपूर्यमाणो वर्षद्भिरम्बुदै कामम् अप्यदाद्वीपवर्षाद्रिभिः समम्
Thank you.
Udvikshitah was looking on Urmi with its waves. Bhishana, frightening. Prabhanjana, by hurricane winds. Aghurnita, swirled around. Va, its water. Mahaarnava, the great ocean. Apuryamana, becoming filled. Varashadbhi, with rain. Ambudai, by the clouds. Kshamam, the earth. Apyadhat, covered over. Dvipa, with its islands. Varsha, continents. Adribhi, and mountains. Samam, together. Translation by the disciples of the Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Even as Markandeya looked on, the rain pouring down from the clouds filled the ocean more and more until that great sea, its waters violently whipped into terrifying waves by hurricanes, covered up all the earth's islands, mountains and continents. Text number 15, the translation. The water inundated the earth, outer space, heaven and the celestial region. Indeed, the entire expanse of the universe was flooded in all directions. And out of all its inhabitants, only Markandeya remained. He is matted here, scattered. The great sage wandered about alone in the water as if dumb and blind. Text number 17 and 18. 16. Tormented by hunger and thirst, attacked by monstrous makaras and timingala fish, and battered by the wind and waves, he moved aimlessly through the infinite darkness into which he had fallen. As he grew increasingly exhausted, he lost all sense of direction and could not tell the sky from the earth. Text 17 and 18. Translation. At times he was engulfed by the great whirlpools. Sometimes he was beaten by the mighty waves, and at other times the aquatic monsters threatened to devour him as they attacked one another. Sometimes he felt lamentation, bewilderment, misery, happiness or fear, and at other times he experienced such terrible illness and pain that he felt himself dying. Text 19. Countless millions of years passed as Markandeya wandered about in that deluge, his mind bewildered by the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 20. Once while wandering in the water, the Brahmana Markandeya discovered a small island upon which stood a young banyan tree bearing blossoms and fruits. Text 21. Upon a branch of the northeast portion of the tree, he saw an infant boy lying within a leaf. The child's effulgence was so swallowing up the darkness. Text 22 to 25, translation. The infant's dark blue complexion was the color of a flawless emerald. His lotus face shone with a wealth of beauty, and his throat bore marks like the lines on a conch. He had a broad chest, a finely shaped nose, beautiful eyebrows, and lovely ears that resembled pomegranate flowers and that had inner folds like a conchal spirals. The corners of his eyes were reddish like the whorls of the lotus, and the effulgence of his coral-like lips slightly reddened the nectarian enchanting smile on his face. As he breathed, his splendid hair trembled and his deep navel became distorted by the moving folds of his skin on his abdomen, which resembled a banyan tree. The exalted Brahmana watched with amazement as the infant took hold of one of his lotus feet with his graceful fingers, placed a toe within his mouth and began to suck. Purport. The young child was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the Lord Krishna wondered, "So many devotees are hankering for the nectar of my lotus feet. Therefore, let me personally experience that nectar." Thus, the Lord, playing like an ordinary baby, began to suck on his toes. Hare Krishna. So, thus we heard the beautiful darshan given by Lord Krishna to Markandeya Rishi. And our philosophy is so simple. Prabhupada used to say that Krishna consciousness is so simple, you may miss it because it's so simple. Why? Because Krishna himself is very simple. And because he is very simple, therefore the philosophy is also very simple and the process is also simple. So, therefore, one should simply take shelter of this simple philosophy and makes one's life simple, sublime. So recently when Krishna Chandrapa was giving class here, he was mentioning about how once Jayadath Maharaj was asked this question. How did you become a devotee? Somebody asked him. Jayadath Maharaj gave a wonderful reply. "Because the philosophy did not leave me any option for me. So therefore I had to become devotee. Because philosophy itself is so simple and sublime, I helplessly became devotee." And later on, Srila Prabhupada, when he was in London, he met with John Lennon and Yoko. And Srila Prabhupada was trying to interact with them. And he asked them, "What philosophy do you follow?" And they were kind of bewildered. "What is this philosophy?" and all of that. They said, "We don't follow any philosophy. We just live. We don't follow any philosophy." So, only animal has no philosophy. Every responsible person should have a proper philosophy to follow. And the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam or Krishna consciousness is so very wonderful and sublime that if one follows it, then his life is perfect. And what is that philosophy? Krishna personally says in Bhagavad Gita, "Daivi hesha gunamai mama maya duratteya mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite." It is very simple. So these three modes of material nature, it is very, very difficult to overcome. And who has overcome it? Only he who has taken shelter of my lotus feet. So, therefore, and also in third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapil Dev describes to her, his mother, Devahuti, the series of verses explaining about the bewildering nature of this material existence, isn't it? So he says, Tat srishta srishta srishteshu konma akhandita dhipuman rishim naranam rite yoshin mayeha mayaya. Amongst all the living entities created by Lord Brahma, namely demigods, human beings and animals, only Naranarayana Rishi, none other than Naranarayana Rishi, is immune to the the bewildering potency of the external energy, isn't it? Because everybody else is created by the Lord Himself. So everybody else is naturally bewildered, but He Himself is not. So, but the living entity has his own free will. Krishna has beautifully awarded, rewarded all the living entities with that free will. He doesn't control us. He just gives us enough freedom to explore and experiment to this material world. But there is no need of exploration or experiment, because it may end up in some problematic situation. So therefore it is said, unnecessary curiosity and unnecessary this kind of mentality is actually unfavorable for one's devotional service. The curiosity may be there to find out something, but is it worth it? That is the question. Because all our acharyas have given the conclusions. Nana shastra vichara naika nipanam sadharma samsthapakam, isn't it? Otherwise these Vedic literatures are very, very vast. Four Vedas, 18 Puranas, 108 Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra. This is given by Vyasadeva. What about all other sages and all other devotees? They have given immense Vedic literatures. And these Goswamis have actually studied all of them and found out the essence of it and given us in a very simple format. So when we follow the the ready-made philosophy, I mean, we don't have to go through all that. And it's not possible also. Even if one wants to try, he simply becomes a laughing stock, because it's so immense and it's so difficult to understand. All the texts are in Sanskrit. In order to learn proper Sanskrit, itself will take 12 minimum years. Then he can begin the study. And then what? After studying, the conclusion has been given by all the great souls and acharyas. So thus, but the living entity tries to become scientist when he comes to this material world. He wants to explore and experiment on his own. And then he may end up in trouble. So once Srila Prabhupada, I think it was his own son or son of Gopal Agarwal. This child was actually, there was a table fan around, and child was attracted to that moving blades of the table fan. Actually wanted to touch. It was very adamant, and Prabhupada was trying to convince him, no, no need, you don't touch it. And the child as he just wanted to experiment on his own. And Srila Prabhupada, being very compassionate, okay, let him experiment. What he did? He switched out the fan, then he brought the child's finger right close to the slowly moving blade. And then, tan! The child got the great shock. And then he started crying. And now Prabhupada has to, you know, console him, cajole him. And then Prabhupada, he wanted to give him that experience, I mean, give him the wisdom. So child again, Prabhupada again took the child. Would you like to touch once again? Why don't you? The child, now he is convinced. He is experienced. He is realized by this time, within a moment's time. He understood, no, this is not worth. I am happy without touching it. So thus it takes some time to realize. Because everybody has that independence. what to speak of this ordinary child? Even the great souls are sometimes into this mode of exploring and experimenting. And the Vedic literatures are filled with such examples, you know, such as Lord Shiva himself, the greatest of all the demigods. And he's not even, he is directly the Supreme Lord himself. He is a Gunavatar. And the first son of Lord Krishna, who is Lord Brahma himself. He is direct son of Lord Krishna. And he becomes sometimes kind of bewildered to experiment. Here now Markandeya Rishi, he is also into exploring and experimenting. And we should understand one thing, that these great souls are not like ordinary people, like all of us, wanting to explore and experiment. So, actually they are not in Mahamaya, they are in Yogamaya. Why? Because when Krishna wants to make a point, he won't take, you know, people like us who are neophytes, struggling with our minds and senses, trying to complete some or other or 16 rounds and then do our other things. No. Krishna will choose those people who are legendary devotees. Isn't it? Stalwart devotees. And they are these people. Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Bhishma. Who was Lord Bhishma? He was one of the Ashtavasus, and is Mahajan himself. He chose such people to make it a point. See, who are these people? They are direct expansion of my own self. They are stalwart devotees, and they are unparalleled. They have such devotion. And if they are bewildered, if they undergo so many difficulties after exploring, then what to speak of anybody else in this world? Isn't it? So therefore, now Markandeya Rishi, we just read through all of that description. If we just meditate on that, no, then we don't have to do all of that. We don't have to undergo all, which is not possible also, even if one wants. That reading is sufficient. What all he underwent. And because he was not an ordinary devotee, because he was a great exalted Paramahamsa Mahabhagavat, the result is he will see the beautiful form of the Lord. If an ordinary person, he wants to experiment with the material nature, he will be battered and he will be finished. Never to rise after for some time. After he will rise again, he will, if he understands, and he will, it's good. But here is Markandeya Rishi. He has experienced all of this. And the fact of the matter is that he is not an ordinary soul. He was chosen devotee of the Lord. So therefore he will going to see that beautiful form of the Lord. Isn't it? So therefore Prabhupada is to caution his devotees, disciples. And he used to say, you Westerners, you people are not very afraid of Maya. You are not cautious of Maya. So, that means one should have sufficient, a healthy fear of Maya. Then life becomes simple. And yesterday we were celebrating the Vyas Puja celebration of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. And he also, once upon a time, he said this. He said, right here in Bhagavatam class, he was addressing all of us because we were hearing. And he said, you Mumbaikars, you people living in Mumbai, you are actually followers of Western civilization. Because your city looks like any Western city. Your tall buildings, they look like any Western city buildings. You talk like Westerners because you speak English. You walk like Westerners. You behave like Westerners. That means your lifestyle has become almost Western people. Therefore, it is not only meant for Westerners. Prabhupada said, you Westerners, you be careful. No. Everybody who is following the Western culture should become very cautious. So that means it is anybody and everybody. So who is not actually Krishna conscious fully, so they have to be cautious. Else it's not a good situation. So thus our philosophy is simple. Just stay away from Maya, illusory energy, and stay close to Krishna, close to His divine lotus feet, and just serve it, serve Him, isn't it? So that is as simple as that. And anybody who walks in to these doors or any ISKCON temple, within a day's time he will understand our philosophy. It doesn't take, actually it is great privilege and fortune if one can study Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava and all those courses. It's very good, one should do that. Even if one doesn't do that, within few days he will understand the philosophy. It's not a rocket science, it is a simple one. In fact, it takes a lot of energy and time and so much of understanding the science and technology to create one space, shuttle or whatever, and then going there. Most of the time they land up in any of the oceans, and if they make it, sometime they make go, and after that what? They have to come back here, which takes so much of energy and time. Whereas going back to the spiritual world, which is beyond this all material creation, is so simple. So simple. But only thing, one has to be intelligent enough to catch it. So therefore, Maharaj also, he quoted several times this one quotation. He likes it very much. The experience is the best teacher. But the second line is very difficult to digest. What is that? But the fool doesn't know other than the experiment. He has to experiment himself and then he will understand. So what to do? We living entities, we have been given that privilege, the free will. So therefore, as they say in Hindi, samajhdar ko ishara kafi. So we need to become samajhdars. We need to become wise. So then all the Vedic literature, they are giving ishara. They are giving enough information. Isn't it? So that is sufficient. More than sufficient. So as I said, this Markandeya Rishi, because he is an exalted devotee of the Lord, so now he is able to see that beautiful form of the Lord, which is seen by nobody. First time ever he is seeing this. And some years before, we had the good fortune of decorating Sri Gopalji in the same beautiful form of Krishna trying to taste his own lotus toe. And those days we used to have Narahari Prabhu and so many other devotees. We managed to somehow or other create this beautiful form of the Lord. And it's still in my mind. See, we somehow or other did it. Prabhuji created some extra hands and legs, and it was very well decorated, very beautiful. Billu Mangal Thakur, in fact, I was just going through the text of Krishna Karanamrita, only the translations, and he has given this one beautiful verse which says, Chapalya Sima Chapalanu Bhavaika Sima Chaturya Sima Chaturanana Shilpa Sima Saurabhya Sima Sakaladbhuta Keli Sima Saubhagya Sima Tadidam Braja Bhagya Sima. Such a beautiful verse. Krishna is the highest limit of dexterity. He is expert. Nobody can match his expertise in every field. He is the highest limit of all the dexterities, and is the highest limit of realizing happiness by his own actions. Chapalya Sima Chapala Anubhavaika Sima Chaturya Sima Chataranana Shilpa Sima. What is that? He is the highest limit of cleverness, and is the highest limit of Brahma's artistic creations. And it is actually here he says that he is not the actually Brahma's artistic creation, but rather it is opposite. It is Lord who created Brahma. But still, you know, as a matter of fact, as a matter of convention, it is said, okay, everybody comes through Brahma, like that. So even in that sense also, even if Brahma creates Lord Krishna, that is a limit of his artistic creation. He cannot do anything beyond that. He gave up everything, all his tools and brush and paints. This is the highest what I can create. And what is that? The beautiful form of the Lord. He is the highest limit of Brahma's artistic creations. And thirdly, Saurabhya Sima Sakaladbhuta Keli Sima. He is the highest limit of charming fragrance. Saurabhya. Saurabha. And then he is the highest limit of all astonishing pastimes. Krishna's pastimes are so enchanting that have been explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Then, Saubhagya Sima Tadidam Rajabhagya Sima. He is the highest limit of all good fortune. Saubhagya. And then finally, he is the highest limit of all the good fortune of all the residents of Vrindavan. So, such are the qualities of the Supreme Lord. So, this baby Krishna now trying to suck his own lotus feet. Just like, if cow milk, we all know cow milk, how nourishing it is, how wonderful it is. In fact, it is called as liquid religion. When the religion comes in the form of liquid, that is known as cow's milk. Liquid religion. And in modern terms, it is called as miracle food. One can live simply drinking milk. That is, we also have that example of milk drinking Brahmana. Brahmacharya or whatever. So milk is so nourishing. So, but if a cow wants to relish his own milk, she cannot. She just cannot do it because now she has grown up. And her calf, she can drink milk. And unless somebody, takes milk and actually feeds the milk to the cow, maybe cow will drink it. Why not? And I have heard that our Nandanandan Prabhu, he used to take all milk sweets from here in the morning, initial days. We have seen it. And he used to take such big quantities of sweets and he actually used to feed the cows of, you know, our Govardhan eco village. Thus, only when somebody feeds them with, you know, milk preparations, then only the cows can relish the sweetness of the milk. Otherwise, they just cannot, isn't it? But Krishna is not like that. He is all powerful. He can do anything whatever he wants. So therefore, he is now trying to taste his own sweetness of his own lotus feet. So, so therefore, Lord Krishna comes in the form of Lord Chaitanya, and in this form, he just wanted to taste the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. He wanted to taste the sweetness of the holy name. So therefore, he came as Lord Chaitanya. And not only that, he wanted to taste the mellows of Vrindavan. How Srimati Radharani feels when he serves Krishna. So therefore, in order to taste that mellows of Vrindavan, he came and he tasted it. And now, in this text, we see that how the same Lord Krishna, he wanted to taste his, the sweetness of his own lotus feet, because everybody is after his lotus feet. Everybody want to touch it. Everybody want to take, you know, dust out of it. Everybody has that nectar and they want to taste it. So therefore, everybody is running after Krishna's lotus feet. And finally, Krishna thought, okay, my God, so many people are coming to my lotus feet. And they are tasting, and so far I have not tasted my own lotus feet. So let me do that. But he cannot do in Vaikuntha, in front of Mother Lakshmi, he cannot do that. It becomes very embarrassing situation. All the great sages, great demigods, they are all chanting his glories, offering prayers, receiving benedictions in front of such exalted, you know, assembly of great souls. If Vishnu starts sucking his lotus feet, that means, you know, it becomes too much. So therefore, Krishna has his own plan. So he comes in this beautiful form, and now he is trying to lick the sweetness of his own lotus feet. So I heard, I think there is one beautiful song written by Tukaram Maharaj also, I think so. He has written, so your lotus feet are so sweet, so you don't know your the glories of your own lotus. We know, because we serve it and we have tasted it. And therefore Krishna comes in the form of this beautiful baby boy to taste. So therefore everybody wants to touch the lotus feet. So here in this land of great land of Maharashtra, we have Pandharpur, where the Lord is standing and just waiting for all the souls to come and touch his lotus feet and take shelter of his lotus feet. And therefore, when somebody wants to wait, he waits like this, you know. So, I mean, instead of, you know, just hanging his hands, so we, many times we rest. He is resting his hands on his and then he is waiting. And actually our Loknath Maharaj says that why is he standing like this? One is that he is waiting for us to come and take shelter of his lotus feet. And second, he says that if you take shelter of his lotus feet, then this great ocean of material existence becomes us on only this height. You can easily walk through the material existence, material ocean of material existence of birth and death, and it becomes so small, so insignificant. You can easily walk through. That is the realization of Maharaj. So thus, we are able to see, by the mercy of Markandeya Rishi, we have been given this vision, the unprecedented and unparalleled darshan of the Lord, who is, you know, trying to taste the sweetness of his own lotus feet. And by the way, we all know that there are so many signs on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And they are totally 19 in number. We'll try to meditate actually on all these signs, because the whole point, he is taking darshan of this beautiful Lord. And actually one, Russian devotees have painted this beautiful painting, Krishna's, you know, there he is licking his own toe. And of course, there are so many signs shown over there. And actually, whenever we take darshan of the lotus feet of Krishna, Radharani, Gauranga, Nityananda, they have their signs. So, for Krishna, there are totally 19 such signs. We'll try to meditate and understand the significance of all these 19 signs which are marked on the lotus feet of the Lord. The first, there is chakra, the wheel. What is the significance of this one? So anybody who takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, he will be freed from all the six enemies, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsara, isn't it? So who will not take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet and get rid of all these anarthas? That is the wonderful benefit of meditating Krishna's lotus feet, which has this beautiful chakra on it. Secondly, the lotus. When one meditates on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, then it causes greed to relish, to hanker, to relish the more and more the sweetness of Lord Krishna's lotus feet again, our service to Krishna. So, that is the significance of lotus flower. And thirdly, the flag. We see the flag, dhvaja. When one meditates on flag, it removes all unwanted elements towards his devotees and awards victory. Therefore, Jaya Pataka, Vijay Pataka, Maharaj has been given this name by Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Pataka or Vijay Pataka. That means Pataka is flag. So when one takes shelter of his lotus feet, so then he becomes victorious over material nature. Then there is thunderbolt, Shakti weapon. We generally see this thunderbolt in the hands of Lord Indra. And he is famous for breaking the mountains, isn't it? So our sins in our hearts are like big, big mountains, bigger than Himalayas. And if one takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, then he can easily break through all these big, big mountains of sins. Then there is elephant goad, Ankusha. It is called as Ankush. It brings one's mind under full control. Otherwise, Chanchalam Himana Krishna Pramati Balavadudam Tasyaham Nigrahamane Vayoriva Sudushkuram. 5000 years before only this has been established. It is impossible. Even he said, a stalwart devotee like Arjuna admitted it. But anybody who takes Krishna's lotus feet shelter, then he can easily control one's mind, which is otherwise impossible. Then there is barley corn. Barley is a grain. And when meditates on this barley corn, then all the pleasures which are available, they become easily accessible for the devotee. Because that signifies prosperity and all the pleasures, barley corn. And then there is conch, shankha. It removes all the distresses and it mitigates all the problems of one's life. and it awards fearlessness. One becomes fearless. So therefore we need to concentrate on the sound produced by shankha or conch when it is blown. 6 times, 3 times at the beginning of the arati and 3 times at the end of the arati. So actually what it produces is omkara. Why it is so auspicious? Because it produces that pranava omkara when somebody blows it. So therefore, one becomes fearless. So therefore, how can any ghosts and spirits and such, you know, lower creatures can stay in front of that thunderous sound of conch? So therefore, it is recommended to blow conch shells even at homes, everywhere, because it drives away all inauspiciousness and also awards fearlessness. And then there is fish on the lotus feet of the Lord. This fish signifies a very wonderful phenomena. That is, the devotees, their life will become that fish when it is out of water, if they do not take shelter of Krishna. So therefore, we are supposed to be always close to Krishna's lotus feet. So that means we are in our natural condition. Jivera Swarubhaya Krishnera Nityadas. Isn't it? So only when that fish comes out of water, then he will face all the problems. So therefore, we are supposed to be always floating on Krishna's lotus feet. And it also gives us steadiness, because we see how these fishes are totally unsteady. Maybe every second, you know, they move their heads and their bodies several times in a second. We have seen all those fishes. Previously they used to be here in this pond, and then they were sent to that over there, you know, Brindavan forest. We see. They are so restless, you just cannot understand their mind. So when one takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, what will happen? Our minds are like those fishes, and then we will get some steadiness, because Krishna's lotus feet will give that steadiness. And then there is Kalasha picture. It is full of purely nectarian ambrosia to be relished by his devotees, surrendered devotees. So that signifies pure nectar. Anybody who surrenders, then he will be able to taste that nectar of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, that is picture, Kalasha. Then there is Akasha. The sign of Akasha, one kind of a wheel is shown. So that indicates that Krishna's lotus feet are pervading all over the material existence and even the spiritual. They are all pervading. So therefore, no matter where one is, no matter in what condition one is suffering, so he can always take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, because they are available all throughout, everywhere and anywhere. So therefore, the Akasha, the sign, signifies that all-pervading nature of Krishna's lotus feet. Then there is umbrella. Umbrella is, it will give protection from incessant rainfall of material miseries, isn't it? So just like anybody walks into, you know, rains, he will have his umbrella just to protect himself from the water. Similarly, this material existence is pouring incessant rains of material miseries, 3-4 material miseries, adibhautika, adidaivika, adhyatmik. So anybody who has taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, then he will be free, he will become free from all these miseries of material existence.
And also it is said that anybody who takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, he becomes like king, kingly. Because only kings will have those chhatris or umbrellas carried over. Their servants will carry and the king walks in. So that means he becomes very exalted, a devotee of the Lord. That is the significance of umbrella. Then there is a calf hoof print. This is very famous, we all know. What is that shloka? Samashritaye padapallava plavam mahatpadam punya yashomurare krupambudir vatsapadam param padam 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 yadvipadam natesham. Vatsapada or goshpada, here it is called. Anybody who takes shelter of this Krishna's lotus feet, then the entire material existence becomes, you know, as small as calf's footprint. And if there is any water in it, actually we have seen it in Govardhan Eco Village. There are so many calves, when they walk around, hardly any, maybe at the most 2 to 3 inches, that is the maximum length of any calf's footprint. And the water contained in that, how insignificant that is. The entire material ocean of all these miseries will take the shape of goshpada or calf's footprint and the water contained in it. So anybody can easily, even a child can just cross over it. That becomes so easy. So that is the significance of goshpada, calf footprint. Then there is vajra. As I said, it is, I think it got repeated, it smashes all the pieces, our sins into pieces. And then there is Ardha Chandra, half moon. This signifies the desired objectives of the devotees, which will be surely fulfilled because they take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, which has Ardha Chandra, half moon. And what to speak of anybody, even Lord Shiva bears that half moon or the Chandra on his head. Thus he becomes Lord Shiva. Because he meditates on Lord Krishna's lotus feet, therefore Shivatva is awarded to him. You know, what is that? Bhakti Vinod Thakur sings. So because Jepada Lagiya Shiva, Shivatva Labhiya. Shiva got that Shivatva, all auspicious quality. Lord Shiva, he got it because he meditated on the lotus feet of the Lord. Brahma becomes Brahma. He can create all the material existence because he meditates on Krishna's lotus feet. So therefore, one becomes very exalted when one takes shelter of Krishna. And also it removes all the darkness within the heart, because moon is famous for its cool rays, isn't it? Shining rays. And it destroys all the darkness and all the ignorance in one's heart. And then there is a bow, dhanush. This is... It will perpetually free one from all the worries and difficulties when one takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, which has bow or dhanush in it. And the mind becomes sound enough and strong enough to directly target to the lotus feet of Krishna, because dhanush is meant for releasing the bow, releasing the arrow. Our arrow is like the mind. And when we take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, which has this bow, we can actually reach our destination, which is the abode of the Lord and his lotus feet. And then there is flower. And the fame of the lotus feet are spread all over the universe, just like a fragrance of the flower is spread all over. Flower may be in one corner, but the fragrance is all over. Similarly, Krishna's lotus feet, the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet spread all over. So therefore they signify this wonderful quality of Krishna. Then there is club, the gada. So the gada is capable of chastising all the enemies of one's mind. And also all the sinful desires within one's heart. Lust and other anger and other abominable enemies which are staying in one's heart, they will be taken care of one when take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, which has club on it. And then there is altar. Altar is Vedi, Yajna Kunda. So in Agni Kunda, what happens generally? It blazes with the help of fuel, which is ghee or clarified butter. So all our sins are burned to ashes when we take shelter of Krishna, which has altar in his lotus feet. Then there is Jambu Phala is rose apple, a kind of fruit, Jambu fruit. So this signifies that the only worshipable object of the residents of Jambudvipa is Krishna's lotus feet. And we stay in Jambudvipa, isn't it? Actually, we are actually staying in Jambudvipa. So therefore, for us it is very natural that we, the only object of our worship is Krishna's lotus feet. And finally, there is this swastik. And it creates all auspiciousness, swastika. And there is a upcurving line. There is one line in Krishna's lotus feet, if you observe. So it takes directly to the spiritual world. Anybody who takes shelter of this line, because this line signifies from here to there, from material existence to the spiritual existence. So thus this curving line will help us to reach our destination, which is the spiritual world. Then there is octagon. There is actually a shape, a geometrical shape, octagon. And this signifies the mitigation of all the distresses and all the problems of one's life when one takes shelter of octagon. So thus, these are 19 signs of Krishna's lotus feet. We are supposed to meditate on it and worship them. And thus make our lives perfect. So therefore, as I said, our life is, our philosophy is very simple. Just take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet and stay away from Maya. And that will give us all the desired fruits of one's life. And thus we will perfect our life and we can achieve our destination. So such a very simple philosophy has been explained in Srila Prabhupada books. Anybody who can pick up these books, he will understand. In fact, my mother, she used to read novels. She was a very fond reader of novels. My sisters, my mother, all day, after their work, they used to have big novels and reading. I was wondering, how you people read so many books? They had taste to read. Now they are addicted to Srila Prabhupada books. Now they are simply relishing. They tell me, I read this, I read that, so beautiful, so wonderful. Because this philosophy has been explained in such a simple manner, lucid manner. Anybody who has average intelligence can pick up and understand it. And we have this month of December, marathon. Christmas marathon. So this is a great time for us to distribute this simple philosophy of Krishna consciousness for those who are lacking it. So so let us do that. And there is a great opportunity for everybody to share this wisdom of Vedas. And presently we are actually meditating on Krishna's crown, because 12th canto. Very soon we are going to take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, 1st and 2nd canto. 1st canto and 2nd canto are signifying Krishna's two lotus feet, isn't it? Just another day Gaurang Prabhu was explaining. 93 October, I think, it started, 1st canto. 1.1.1. So very soon, maybe in coming month or 2021 or maybe something like that, we'll again catch hold of Krishna's lotus feet very soon. The two lotus feet, they are waiting for us, 1st and 2nd canto. So very soon we are going to complete this 12th canto. Again we'll begin. Maybe again it will take 27 more years to complete. So maybe complete another cycle of 27 more years, maybe another third one, isn't it? Because Pejavar Swami, he did paryaya, five paryayas. How many? Five. Each paryaya will have how many? 14 years, I think. 12 years. No. 16 years ho gaya na, kyunki ye ashtamatha. So 16 years of paryaya. He did five paryayas. That's a glorious achievement. Similarly, we can also have a lot of paryayas. Our paryaya is sitting, simply sitting and hearing and becoming blissful. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai, the lotus feet of Lord Krishna ki jai. Nitai Guru Premanande.
तुम्हीच दिलं तुम्ही घेऊन चालला
अरे थँक्यू अरे